Greetings, Game Cola faithful, and welcome to the Game Cola podcast. This is podcast number 179. Take your wine with a little bit of lime. And I am your host and podcast commander, Joseph Martin.
And I am Blue Rider, and it's happy still Pride Month.
I am James Pelster, and I am just proud to be me.
I'm Alex the Jedi Jedrzak, your Jeditor-in-Chief, and I did not watch the Nintendo Direct.
I am John Rizzi, and I can confirm that lime is terrible with wine.
All of it?
And surely I am with ions. Not I mean, sponsored.
There's got to be like a white wine, I feel like, that you could lime with. Like just the vibes.
I mean, this is coming from someone who doesn't like lime in general, so.
Well, then, what are you even doing, John?
I'm expressing my opinion and making a discussion out of it, as you do on a podcast.
But, like, that's a very important, relevant piece of information to include when you're saying, oh, limes don't go good with wine. That you can't say that if it you don't think it goes good with anything. Then it's just a nothing statement. And that's important context.
This is the sort of problem you have when you have four people whose names start with J on the same podcast.
The J egos have come out.
This is what I have to deal with.
And blues come here out of the blue. Wait, no.
Wow.
Thank you for joining on the Game Cola podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, look. We're here to talk about video games, but not real video games. Only video games that still exist solely in our imagination.
Yeah.
Games that we've heard about, heard tell about. And we believe things about them. And today we're going to take those beliefs and drill them into the ground, into the dirt under deep, dark gravestones. Because this episode is your most anticipated game will be terrible. Because people like that kind of title, apparently.
I mean,
and we've had like three-ish, maybe more. Like E3-esque, like things that would have been E3 presentations, except we're not doing E3 anymore. Because it was originally supposed to be a straight
show this year.
And then it became just a bunch of people on stages talking about video game advertisements. And then everyone was like, we could just do that on the internet. And so then they just stopped doing it.
And thus, tens of thousands of dollars were saved.
But like, there's the Nintendo Direct. There was a Capcom thing at the Game Awards. Was there another big? I mean, there was other things at the Game Awards, but the only thing I was looking for was the Capcom thing. They didn't have any.
The Game Awards happens in December. This was Summer Games Fest.
Or it's the people who make the Game Awards, yes, but in
same
summer.
People, yeah.
Sorry, I think about Game Awards happening in the summer when they're supposed to happen, John.
Yeah, exactly.
just like the best. Sorry.
Yeah.
The best and only one that happens in the summer.
Uh-huh. Game Cola's Christmas in July, Ho Ho Holiday, Awards Cast Extravaganza, whatever it's called these times.
Your Extravaganza Awards, yeah.
But to, yeah, something like that.
But to answer your first question, Joe, it was also the Xbox showcase.
That's right.
Wasn't
they showed that case real good.
Whoa.
There was also a State of Play for PlayStation, I think.
That was like 2 weeks before June or whatnot. It was weird. It was very small. Like not
still
a lot
after
happened
the
there.
Previous podcast.
The point is that we now know a lot about the video games that are going to be happening in the next 365-ish days. Oh, sorry, 366 is a leap year. ish days. So, what games are you looking forward to, and how can we ruin that for you?
All right, I'll just get the obvious out of the way. The biggest reveal for me, Metroid Prime 4 Beyond, was finally revealed after 7 years of its initial announcements. Mm-hmm. This was originally revealed the same E3 as Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, it's 7 years. It's been 7 years in the making. But here's the thing, John. I already have the thing that's going to ruin it. It's a vegan video game.
What?
Because there's plants?
It's Beyond.
Beyond
Samus probably tastes bad.
Well, I mean,
Beyond Metroid,
it is like, still a first-person shooter, and you're still killing stuff. So I don't know how vegan you want to get.
But you don't. This. But John, you don't eat it.
Don't right. eat your video games, kids.
Well, a lot of great video games are vegan, then, if that's your logic.
Not no. Nintendo Switch games. You eat those. Lots of people try. So, true. I mean, this is going to be the conundrum, right?
Like, vegan, you can't eat vegan it. People still eat stuff. What is your argument here?
Yeah, but we were saying somewhere in the analogy, video games were the meat that you couldn't eat. In this weird vegan analogy.
And then this is implying that making it vegan ruins it, which is, I think, vegans will be upset by the implication that their video games are worse.
I did think about that, but I had to, like, the beyond was just there. I had to, like, take a stand against vegans just for the sake of it being funny. I'm very sorry, vegans. You've been caught in the comedy crossfire. There was no other way for me, like, I already set up the premise, right? If I hadn't set up the premise that I originally set up, I wouldn't have had to take the stance that I did, right? I could have made some other kind of vegan joke, but this is where we are. This is the life that we lead. This is the kind of sacrifice I have to make as the podcast commander. I'm willing to kill
on it. I mean,
well, for a vegan video game, it looks like a damn good vegan video game. That's all I'm saying.
I think that another way you might be able to potentially, like, you know, put a downer on Metroid Prime 4 is saying, well, it's coming out in 2025, so it might be coming out at the very end of 2025 and as, like, a Switch successor launch title. So you're, like, all excited for it, and then it comes out really late, and then you realize, I either have to buy the inferior version or I have to buy the superior version. And a whole new console.
Yeah, that could... Because, like, what, they announced Breath of the Wild before they announced the Switch, right?
Oh, yeah. Years beforehand. Because it was supposed to come out on the Wii U.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
it kept getting delayed. It did
come out on the Wii U.
Let's put this on the Switch and not... Let's put this on the Switch and not a corpse.
It's actually
no,
worse.
It was on the Wii U, though.
But it came out as a launch title, but it launched on as a launch title for Nintendo Switch. So that's actually legitimately a thing that I think could be a possibility with Metroid Prime 4.
I agree that
situation could happen again.
The other possibility is that they say it's coming out in 2025, and then it comes out in 2032.
This also happened with, well, that's not specifically true. The years, another but this did years. Also happen with Breath of the Wild, in effect.
It happened, I still, one of my, every now and then, my friends who are follow Persona still quotes the releasing, I think it was like July 2014 was the original release date of Persona 5, something like that, like spring 2014 or something, and that game came out in July of 2017.
It's close. It's not that far off.
It's only 3 years change.
I mean, we're talking about the scale of 7 at this point, right? Like, you get 3 more years of delays, it'll be over a decade from the announcement. I mean, to be fair, they did throw out the whole first video game, as far as we know.
Yeah, that takes a lot of time, getting rid of all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm assuming that was like 2 years of development was out the window. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay, John's game is going to be bad. What about, who else has a game that they're looking forward to?
Oh, I'm super duper excited for the new Mario & Luigi game that was just announced at the Nintendo Direct earlier today.
Animation is fantastic.
It's so good looking. I really wonder who, like, whether Nintendo's making this in-house or if it's a different, like, studio that they're working with to make it. Because, like, obviously Alpha Dream's dead. Right.
They haven't announced who the dev was.
I hear people mention like that. At least word on the street is that, like, people from Alpha Dream, at least some of them, were hired to work sort of like in house at Nintendo.
I heard that too.
That's another way your favorite games are going to be bad in 2024. The people who make them are going to lose their jobs, no matter how good their game does.
That's a separate issue.
Yeah, that's...
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah.
But so, like, there's probably, statistically, there's probably some people involved, right? Like,
There are some people involved.
Statistically, yeah, I think so.
It gotta be. At least the art director, at least, like, the art design looks very similar to the previous games.
Well, I mean, like, you can copy an art style, especially when you're kind of going into the 3D. Like, you could make that work without having the exact same people. But I just mean, like, the timeline, right? The timeline on how long it takes to make a game like this, they had to have been thinking about it at around, like, when did Alpha Dream officially, quote unquote, go out of business, right? Like, it wasn't that long ago.
Gone too soon.
Yeah, I've got it. It was 2019.
So, jeez. five years ago.
So it might have started development basically, like, when their developer, like, you know, the bits and pieces were bought up by Nintendo, if that
because
did
they
happen.
released some of the remakes in between now and then, right?
Yeah. No, they released the remakes. You mean like the Superstar Saga and Bowser's Inside Story remakes?
Yeah.
No, that was prior to 2019.
Yeah, that was like 2017, 2018, which was
I think it was 2018, 2019. I think they did the Bowser's Inside Story remake as one kind of like Hail Mary, and that just didn't pan out, and then they shuttered the same year, I thought. Because I thought 2017 was Paper Jam.
Maybe. I guess I'm trying to think of, like, is there enough space in the timeline for we're never going to make another Mario and Luigi RPG ever again to actually we've changed our minds. Because if it was always part of the plan of, like, all right, we need to change, like, how this is structured, then, and we're going to just, like, let you go out of business. I don't know. Or, like, how much discussion was involved, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's something that could have been planned as, like, a long-term thing.
Yeah. Like, if this happens, but, like, we can keep sustaining, et cetera.
We're definitely getting outside of the knowledge, like the expertise that we bring to this podcast to try to speculate too much on it. It does seem conceivable that some of the people who worked at Alpha Dream were hired to work at Nintendo in some capacity.
I think it's likely.
It will be interesting to look at, like, what teams worked on this game. Because, like, Nintendo doesn't say, but, like, they have, like, 10 teams with, like, pedigrees of games, right? But you can never know which teams made what game unless it's, like, one of the very specific, obvious ones, like one of the big Zeldas, which we'll get to.
Oh, yeah.
and, like, one of the big Marios. But, like, for the other ones, it can be up in the air, especially when they start shuffling things around. So it'll be interesting.
I think...
Here's my pitch for why it's not going to be good. I worry that it looks too good, and this is... joke, that's not a bad thing, but
too good for the Switch.
I find sometimes when games or even like 3D animated things in particular focus a lot on the visuals in a particular way, like, oh, look how fluid and smooth, sometimes we can get into a point where, like, we're spending a lot of time on all these different movements and things. It's like, hey, I am here to play the video game. Right? Like, there's a smoothness, there comes a point where, like, you get so smooth that you lose, like, responsiveness on, like, a micro level of, like, it feels kind of weird because, like, oh, because we can't just immediately pop up because that's not smooth enough. You see it sometimes with, like, lip flaps in 2D animation where, like, people will try to make the lip flaps look really smooth, but people move their lips faster than, like, a frame rate would capture it. And so what ends up happening is that the lip movements feel delayed because the person is talking faster than smoothness could show. On a higher level, you can get, like, hey, like, every action requires this really good-looking but repeated and not necessarily necessary long animation, right? Like... There's those cool bros moves, but how cool are those bros moves going to be?
Can we skip
the
20th
time that you've used them?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that would be my big concern. It's like, are we focused enough on, like, yes, it looks good, but, like, I do still want to play the video game. And if you focus too much on the visuals, you can kind of lose that.
I think
that is my biggest concern.
Oh, man.
What is the speed of smoothness?
That could happen.
The speed of smoothness?
It can focus too much on eye candy, too, and then you'll forget about, like, actual gameplay. But to be fair, This was like a minute long trailer. I'd be shocked if they didn't focus all on
it. I'm just saying, this like the premise of this podcast is to be pessimistic for the sake of the title that I've come up with. I think this is going to be a good video game.
That doesn't mean I can't counter your point.
Yeah, we're just dissing them for the sake of SEO.
Yes. Negativity sells, John.
Sadly.
That's not who I am. I'm a positive person.
To make up angry things about video games.
Your favorite video game is a murderer.
Speaking of murderers.
See, this one I don't even have to come up with the reason. Some people just don't like these video games already.
You're spoiling my point here. Hang on a second.
What game is this? What are we talking about?
The Ace Attorney Investigations Collection.
Oh, don't you dare. Murder. Don't you dare.
Has finally been announced. Ace Attorney Investigations 2 is finally being localized after, oh my god, how
13
long?
13 years.
13 damn years, which, to be fair, it shouldn't have been a wait for any of us, because technically, we shouldn't even know that this game exists, because there's been no press about it in America, besides, like, fan stuff, and like, hey, look what Japan got, but it's like, we shouldn't even know about that.
Unfortunately, we care too deeply.
But
wait, you can, it is cool. This isn't but, the like, first the time you can play the any of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you can play any of them. It's very cool.
But no, I mean, sorry. I mean, like, there's at least one, like, English version of Ace Attorney Investigation.
Yeah, yes. But it's, well, there's
our very own Michael Gray has a credit on it.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think there's at least one of the games. How many are there? Are there two?
There's two. One of them got an official translation. The second one did not, but it got a fan translation.
Because the first one sold poorly here.
Right.
Even though it had Werewolverine Man in it.
Well, because also, like, one of our most popular YouTube videos is, like, I think Michael Gray made this,
it's from
a one-minute video where he walks to the location where you can see the Phoenix Wright Maya Fey.
Yeah.
Well, that video's going to do so much better when this game comes out.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's case three of Ace Attorney Investigations 1, I believe.
Yeah. And that video, like, every 30-ish days, but not, like, actually a regular time, it gets, like, a weird spike in views. It's weird.
It's gonna get a big one now.
some group of people is like, oh boy, 3 a.m.
It's a cult.
It really is. Like, who's looking up this Phoenix Wright cameo in a Phoenix Wright spinoff at 3 a.m. on a Tuesday? And they'll are like, oh boy, 3 a.m.
But yeah, but overall, this trailer looks cool. It's like all the pixel art sprite graphics are being redrawn, and they look so expressive and cool. There's a big music player.
You can choose between them.
You can also choose between, for some tracks, you can choose between the old or a new arranged orchestral version of them. And
the new character sprites.
And the key art looks amazing. And there's like multiple languages, as for any of the other Ace Attorney remakes.
I wish
and
we
one
had.
One of them is English.
One of them is English. One of them's Japanese.
Whoa.
I wish we had an option to toggle between the old fan translation localized names. Yeah. Because it's like so many people, because it's been so long. There's a huge like chunk, probably not a majority, but a huge chunk of the fan base has played through this game either partially or fully with the fan translation. And so they're going to like go out and buy this game, and all of the characters' names are going to be weird to them because they're not the same as the fan translation.
Dude, I'm like that about the music track names, because there's only like one official release in America of like the Ace Attorney soundtracks, and it's on vinyl, which I have. And all of the track names are completely different. I'm like, oh my god, which one is this?
They do it for they have the soundtrack for the first three games in the trilogy on Steam when that trilogy came out. I think they might have done the same thing for games 4 through 6 when that trilogy came out as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
so there is technically, you can get digital versions of the soundtrack. They're in FLAC and MP3, by the way. They just download MP3s. It's great. That's how I got my copy of those soundtracks. They're really good. Anyway.
But yeah, on to the reason why I think this will suck. It's because I'll be honest, the games suck. They're not that good. They are by far the weakest ones in the Ace Attorney series. They drag on so much. Case 3 of the first game is probably one of the worst cases.
Ace Attorney Investigations 1, I agree, is I think one of the weakest Ace Attorney games. But I personally think that the second game, the one that they never freaking translated until now, is one of the strongest games in the entire Ace Attorney franchise. Like,
this game I never played is one of the best games in the series, I swear. But I respectfully disagree. I think it is a bit better than the first game, but I think it's probably more ridiculous
and it's okay to be wrong,
really far fetched and more far fetched.
Wait, Blue, who's wrong though?
I don't know. I haven't played it.
Not Phoenix.
So you're just very confident that one of them is wrong and that's okay.
Yeah. Which is correct. I'm pretty sure that's objectively true.
But they could both be wrong and that could not be okay.
Would it not be okay? Why? Explain.
Because at least this is a podcast. Like, someone has to be right.
Phoenix is always right.
I guess you got me there.
Yeah.
I'm so just
which
saying.
Which one is wrong?
I'm just saying.
Blue.
Ace Attorney.
You have to decide now.
Okay.
John is always wrong.
I'm the one trying to bring logic into this.
He's going.
Logic is the point of the game. If
Eureka!
You played it, you would know.
I do. I have. And I'm telling you, the game makes no sense.
John, I think you're losing us. Can you explain with a chess metaphor?
Yeah, can you explain how this murder case that has nothing to do with chess has everything to do with chess? I'm gonna force that for the next 20 minutes.
Wait, is Edgeworth's obsession with chess just purely in this video game, or yes! Is it something that's kind of
it's a little bit in the first game, and
that,
and then the second game just runs with it. The second game like goes full in, like there are so many chess metaphors in the second game. Like, he mentions chess like a couple times in the first game. The second game is full of chess metaphors. There are can I like describe a character from the first case of the second game? Is that allowed?
We officially don't know what
this game
is.
No, we officially don't know. That would be spoilers.
Yes.
I don't know enough about these games to know what would be considered spoilers by people who haven't played this game.
All right, well,
there's a lot of chess metaphors.
There is a ton of chess metaphors in the second game.
And it's so forced. It's so forced and makes
it's just
like
whimsical and goofy.
Ah. Blue and I were on the same page. Okay, so we've already come up with a solution there. Those games are already bad.
That's not what
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, James, but like that's the only thing that works with the terms of the podcast.
My second most anticipated game is going to be terrible. Dang it.
It is. That can be the sequel to this podcast.
The first investigation games is a 4 out of 10. The second one is a 5 out of 10 in my humble opinion.
Okay, we need more people to have games they're looking forward to. Jetty, what games are you looking forward to? I know you didn't watch the Nintendo Direct, but like you don't have to watch this one specific presentation to want to play a video game in the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, the ones that I'm excited for are, you know, Star Fox The Clone Wars, right? That sounded pretty good. The upcoming Pikmin Pac-Man crossover, right? I mean, that's one nobody expected, but it looks really good from what I saw.
Is it bad that I actually want that?
Do you have? I'm gonna force you to talk about real video games, Jetty. Do you have any opinions on the Dragon Quest remakes or the Dragon Warrior remakes, depending on your regional accent?
Yeah, so I did go and watch the videos, and like, I guess I'm so used to the really bad, like, remakes that like Final Fantasy has kind of come out with, where it's like, oh yeah, it's Final Fantasy and it's on mobile with like on-screen controls and like a really weird font.
And the ones from 10 years ago?
Is that what you're worried these are going to be? Is that how these games are going to be ruined?
I guess that's but I did go and watch the video, and it does look like they've actually, like, it's not just something that they gave to an intern to be like, we need to train upcoming developers on something, right?
Oh god. It's not like the original releases of Dragon Quest 1, 2, and 3 on Nintendo Switch, where they literally just use the mobile phone ports with graphics that, character sprite graphics that don't go at all with the background sprite graphics.
Right? Oh man.
Oh, those
are
hideous. I hate them.
No, but I did see the I did go and watch the trailer after seeing you guys talk about it in the Discord. Join us on Discord to discuss such topics as the Dragon and the Dragon Quest remakes. But no, it does actually look pretty good. I am kind of excited. Like at first, I was hesitant because we talked about playing Dragon Quest, and now we kind of have a reason to actually like go and do it. But at first when it was brought up, I was like, maybe we can just still play the original just for comparison. But no, I actually am kind of interested in seeing what they do with the remakes, right? They look pretty good.
Or we could, I just had a brilliant idea. So right now, this is going to kind of cross-pollinate with the YouTube channel here. Right now, Blue and I are doing a thing where I play a version of one of the Resident Evil games, and then Blue plays the remake version of that Resident Evil game. We could do the same thing where I could play the original, and you could play... That would get you to play a new video game, kind of. That's also not a new video game, so you could use the excuse that you still haven't played any new video games recently.
That's a good point. And I will also say I've been very much enjoying, I do have a topic to discuss, because I wanted to talk about our Resident Evil Sonas? Is that what you were saying on the...
Oh, yeah.
Resident Evil Voice Sonas, yeah. Right?
Oh, that's right.
That did happen.
We need to talk about our Resident Evil Voice Sonas.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I was watching the video, and you had mentioned Resident Evil voice sonas, and that really caught my interest, James.
I see. That sounds like a good idea.
Joe, how are the Dragon Quest 1 through 3 HD2D remakes gonna suck?
John just goes, nope.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to talk about my maiden name.
Well, we already know. This one also has something baked in. It's a video game that Jetty's going to play, so it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Oh.
It can't
oh,
be good.
No.
Blind syndrome.
Oh no.
Yeah. It can't be good if I'm playing it. This is true.
You gotta keep Jetty away from the video games that you want to play, because if Jetty plays them first, they will be bad.
I can't imagine him playing a game first that I am excited about coming out in the future.
Ooh. I was wondering why my copy of Moonlighter was starting to stink.
I was gonna say, if we play it before Jetty does, is it good while we play it and it only becomes bad retroactively?
No.
Is this Back to the Future rules, or
because you played like Mystery Dungeon, and I don't think you thought that was bad, right?
Mystery Dungeon's a pretty good game. I didn't like the Mystery Dungeon remake.
Well, Mystery Dungeon DX.
But see, I haven't played that one, so that's why.
Okay, it's still...
This is still why we have to have Jetty only play old video games, because if he plays any of the new ones before we get to them, they'll end up being bad.
Well, he's also slowly, perhaps, invalidating a lot of the review scores on Game Cola.
But no, this is the thing. If it's already been played by someone on at Game Cola,
right,
then... It's like an uncertainty, like quantum observance thing, right? Like if you don't know,
if Jetty doesn't see the video game,
if Jetty is the is your first window, like even if you haven't played the game, but like you've heard things about it, right, from like a trusted Game Cola person, but if Jetty is your first source of information on a video game, then it's going to be bad. So we have to play all the video games. We have to play all the video games before Jetty gets to them.
Or else they become Jetty-o games.
Yeah, Jetty-o games. I will say... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that it's Terminator rules, that like the future has already happened, and so, you know... It can't be changed, right? Like, Back to the Future, you go into the past and you can change things that happened already. Yeah. Right.
Okay. I can't go into the past and play a video game and make it good because I played it before Jetty got there.
I also can't go into the past.
I was gonna on
to
the topic
play the crappy
of
games the, that suck.
Yeah, yeah. All the on the topic of the past though, I was gonna say on on ways that this could be bad. I have actually heard bad things about Dragon Quest II. I've never played it, but I've heard that game is really, really brutally difficult.
Jenny, why'd you do that?
So that's so funny to me because
Jetty's the person who played all the Dragon Quest games.
Dragon Warrior 2 is probably one of my favorite ones.
Oh, so maybe it's like an inverse thing, that if Jetty likes a game, everyone else won't like it. It'll be bad for everyone. I don't know. We need to do further study on this phenomenon.
So wait, you played it, you loved it, and then you loved it so much you decided no one else should have this. And so you ruined it for everyone else and made it brutally hard.
I'll keep an open mind on it, though. If it's a game that you like, and I know you do like Dragon Warrior, I would be willing to keep an open mind on that.
I've honestly always wanted to play Dragon Quest III. I have an NES classic that I put it on, that I hacked. Shoot me, Nintendo. Uh-oh. And I put it on there myself with the intention of playing it. But HD2D remake looks really good, and I haven't played an HD2D like RPG yet, so I feel like this will be a good one to start with.
I feel like Octopath Traveler is really holding up the current state of JRPGs. Like, of that.
Well, it's got
like,
so many
vibe.
Arms.
Yeah.
Right?
That's like, true.
They did this whole, like, kind of 2D, 3D thing, and then, like, everybody else was like, oh, wow. That's like way less money.
It also ruined all of Square's video game names. Because, like, this game is actually called, the full title is Dragon Quest III HD2D Remake. Like, really? Couldn't we just call it Dragon Quest III Remake? Do we have to include the name of the game engine / art style in the title?
Yeah.
Just call it, like, just call it Dragon Quest III, and then people will just, like, put the year in parentheses. Like, that's what we've done
like,
for everything.
They didn't...
Or, like, on console, right? Like, the new Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door, people aren't calling it, like... Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door, HD, the finest quality papyrus from, right? Like, it's just like the Switch.
The one on Switch.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the thousand, it's the 100,000 Year Door now. Oh. The 1,001 or 1,002.
2,000 Year Door.
I'm trying to think of other examples of this naming convention that Square has done. The only one I could think of is Final Fantasy VII Remake. But at the same time, it's like that word also has stuff to do plot-wise that I'm not going to get into here. So I was like, okay, I kind of get it there. But
and
like,
then... And then the second game, because it's like a three-game series that they're making, and then the second game is Rebirth, which is like, okay, so they're calling it that not just to say that it's a remake, but also just because it's like a stylistic part of the title, and they're like trying to be
next
cool.
One's going to be a Reflux, I guess.
Reflux?
I thought the third one was going to be Reunion, but they did the remaster of Crisis Core and called it Reunion.
I still need to play the original Final Fantasy VII. Ugh, anyway.
We need a new game to be bad. Blue.
Me? That's...
Isn't there, like, some Wolverine thing that you're looking forward to that we can ruin?
Hollow Body. I'm looking forward to Hollow Body. My Hollow Body is ready.
I'm gonna need...
Is that the sequel to Hollow Knight that everyone's been waiting for?
A very specific category of extra detail.
Hollow Knight.
And a different category of topics that I would like less detail.
Sorry, what?
I would like to know about the video game called Hollow Body and less about anything related to your Hollow Body.
It's
Are you vegan?
It's a video game reference because of that one guy, Reshvi Zami. Because his body was ready and he's video game.
Sure. No, I get that.
He's the one
I
who
just
punches
to be specific
people
about
when
the
they ask
extra
for
details.
Wait, so Hollow Body is a video game about Reggie Fils-Aimé?
No.
No.
It could be. I guess it's not
this art
yet,
style.
So
with this art style that I'm looking at,
we don't
right
know
now
yet.
Is a horror game? There's a demo. I haven't played the demo, but it's sort of, you know how lately, the past few years, there's been sort of a horror games in the style of PlayStation 1 graphics renaissance sort
yes
of deal.
Ooh. Yes, I have played a number of those.
I'm hoping this one starts the PS2
ooh
nostalgia wave.
That would be cool.
Let's go. Let's go. I'm all for nostalgic. Nothing new. All old stuff, please.
Silent Hill 2.
PS2 was very good, and I want people to remember that so
statistics
they can give
back
me
you
good
up
games
on that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you heard it here first with Blue's hot take. The best, one of the, maybe, I think.
It is the I think it still is the, I think the PS2 is still the best selling console of all time.
I thought the DS beat it out eventually.
No, it didn't.
I think they're considered separately anyway, like it's handheld versus home
anyway
console. But
for
I
the sake
know
of the joke, let's say that it's the Blue is saying that the best selling console of all time is an underrated classic, a hidden gem, the PS2.
I'm just saying the Switch is on track to surpass it, but that's for a different discussion later on.
The Switch is dead. there's my hot take.
your
I mean, it's still selling like hotcakes. So,
yes. I mean, we did just kind of say that like every upcoming Switch game is going to be terrible. So, Blue might have a point.
Yep, the Switch is dead, and we killed it.
I mean, I'm just saying, if this is supposed to be a PS2-esque era horror game, then why wouldn't it be on the Switch?
Because it's on PC.
Yeah, I feel like the thread, like, I get you're trying to, like, the graphics joke you're going for there, John, but I feel like...
But when every game trailer IGN puts out looks like a PS1 game or a mobile game, the joke is gone.
I feel like we've got one more big Nintendo Direct, and we can also talk about other non-Nintendo Direct things.
No.
Unless you had more you wanted to say about the horror game, Blue.
I don't know if it's on Switch.
Okay. There's the Zelda game. And when I say Zelda game, it's a Zelda game.
Yeah, what if Zelda was a girl?
Yeah,
what
if
Zelda was the girl?
For the first time.
It's the Legend of Link. Wait.
I'm surprised Joe didn't make fun of my game.
Hmm?
I mean, I'm looking at gameplay right now. I'm looking at it, the gameplay right now. It looks sick. I have nothing bad to say about it.
I win
also
the podcast.
I was going to say, we
usually
did spend
Joe makes
a
fun
whole
of my games, but not today.
I was going to say, we spent a whole podcast making, not just making fun of a game that you were really excited about, but like, for a piece of information that wasn't even correct about it.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Like,
you want me to trash talk
you the
it?
W
okay. I'll give you a reason.
One.
All right.
It's a PS. No. I'm not heartless. I'm not a monster.
That's his criticism of the Zelda game.
It's a PS2 game?
No! Okay. So it's a PS2 horror game. PS2 horror games can be hit or miss. Clock Tower 3 is all right. One of the most expensive
Clock Tower
games.
Clock Tower 3 is amazing, actually.
One of the most expensive games of all time. is Rule and Bros. Wow, it on the is PS2, something. On the PS2. And, oh my god, that game is terrible.
It's not terrible. It's got lots of upside.
And I'm just saying, if this is emulating the PS2 horror formula, it could be a bit stagnant, or it could be like Rule of Rose. Just saying.
Did they still use draw distance as fog for the PS2?
Definitely more of a not start. To the same extent.
They didn't have to, but some games did.
Yeah,
that's a flaw. That's a major flaw. I think that'll be my negative thing about the video game that Blue wants to like. Okay, look, Zelda. We got to talk about Zelda. Because mm-hmm. Zelda's got her own video game.
Finally.
So, like, is this... I feel like everybody has thought, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to have a Zelda protagonist game that wasn't on the Philips CDI?
That one does not exist.
And so now we have it. And I'm kind of curious if, like, is this what anyone thought that the Zelda game was going to be? Like, everyone knew that, like, okay, at some point they're going to try this, right? Or we're at least going to think about it. But I don't think anyone would have thought that this is what they would have come up with for it.
This was very
If you don't know, you have a magic wand that can copy objects and you paste them in the 2D overworld that looks kind of like the Link's Awakening remake art style.
Kind of like.
Kirby was
kind of like. My dude, I mean, it's the same engines.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't remember, like, if they, how much of it, like, it's the same, is it the same engine explicitly, or we just say, like, yeah.
Oh, it's, if it's a different engine, I'll be blown away.
Dead engine.
I don't know if there were any, like, rules they held themselves into, like, the Link's Awakening version that would be different. I don't know, it feels like the Link's Awakening was very, like, it tried to make it look like clay, you know what I mean? And this feels not quite as hard on that particular, like, textured aesthetic.
I kind of...
You know, like, the shapes are all the same, but it feels like the textures are different. Rubbing my fingers together.
I would call it clay. I would call it more like a diorama rather than clay.
I just feel like the texturing is, like, different. I'd have to watch the trailer again. It feels like it's, like, again, like, the overall presentation is very similar. But I think, like, there's some theming that's going on in Link's Awakening in terms of, like, the setting that I think maybe would pull the art style in a slightly different direction when you're not going for that same theming. And unfortunately, the theming is kind of spoilery.
What if since Link's Awakening, your texture has changed and that's why you think it's different?
Whoa.
Wow.
I can just picture Jenny creeping up to his mic just so he could say...
Whoa.
I think that this is a very cool premise, and I think it's something that's very difficult to pull off in practice.
Texture?
It's like, I hope they pull it off. Not the texture. The magic wand that can copy and paste items everywhere. Like, I don't know. It's cool that it's different, and I want them to try something new like that. It looks like it would take a lot to make it work in a way that's like, has that same level. Like, I feel like people were kind of hit and miss on Tears of the Kingdom with this, of like how much freedom you had could almost feel like it started to trivialize certain things. I feel like was a rough vibe that I got about Tears of the Kingdom. Jay, you played that video game, right?
Yeah, what? I'm playing it
he
currently.
Played it before me? Oh, God.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Like, I nominated it for most disappointing, I believe.
Oh, no. Excuse me while I check how many hours Jetty has in this terrible video game.
A significant number, and I mean, mostly I think it's that there's a very tight loop of like repeating gameplay elements. I don't know, like, in the first one, I felt like you could just, like, go roam around and have fun, and this one has you in this very dense, like, well, you go and do a puzzle at the shrine, and then you go and you wander around for a bit, and then you go into the sky, and then you go into the underground, and it's like this loop of just kind of, I don't know, I preferred the previous game.
I can see that. It is definitely more scripted towards, especially towards the beginning,
and
for Tears of the Kingdom.
But yeah, the I do enjoy the ability to make stuff, right? I wouldn't say that I've abused it. Maybe in a couple of spots, actually.
What's your favorite thing you made?
Oh man, I was playing the bell game for a bit. There's a game where you have to like ring a bell and make it like hit as hard as you can. That was fun, trying to like, you know, add more rockets or like there's a thing that balances stuff and makes it stand up, right? And like, I don't know. I spent probably like half an hour just like goofing off in that game for a while, and I was like, I can get back to the game. But I wouldn't say that I waste a lot of time just making goofy stuff. I remember when it first came out, watching stupid things people would do.
I saw someone make a life-size Godzilla.
So
how is this a bad game?
I did watch like a full 10-minute video of just people torturing the Koroks that are like, I need to reach my friend.
Yes.
Sorry, not sorry. I didn't.
Yep. I've definitely dropped them off of cliffs and torched them with flamethrowers.
This annoying little.
It's like, all right, that's it. Listen, I helped 75 of your friends, but the 76th? Nope, that's it. I'm done.
You're getting attached to a rocket.
Yep, you're getting attached to a rocket. Good luck, buddy. You know how to steer, right? What's that? Didn't hear you. Bye.
But I'm sorry. What was the question? Tears of the Kingdom. Is it gonna? Oh yeah, like the ability to abuse the thing. Yeah, because like, there's definitely stuff where it's like, you're supposed to climb up this thing. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just gonna rocket up.
Yep. Woo.
I'll see you guys later.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the point, though.
I don't know if it is, because sometimes I feel like, oh, what was it? There was several things where like, oh, you're supposed to go through this entire like monster infested area. And I'm like, I'm just going to build a ladder and go up the back. Sorry.
See, I think I remember there was some interview with Breath of the Wild where they said that their favorite moments, they said that they wanted to encourage, were the moments where you felt like you outsmarted the game. And I would imagine that was probably something that they wanted to encourage further, and even designed with more opportunities in mind for Tears of the Kingdom, was, hey, this is what the game is asking me to do, but I figured out a different way. I'd rather do it this way.
But yeah. I think part of it too, like, the solution that you come up with has to feel clever enough, right? Like that, like, oh, like, imagine a sort of extreme example where you've got, like, oh, there's this treasure chest at the end of this long line of, like, this gauntlet of enemies, right? But, oh, you can just walk around to the other side of the cave and walk through the back door. And it's like, oh, I didn't do what the game asked me to do, but, like, it doesn't necessarily make you feel smart or clever. It makes you feel like they really should have thought of this, right? Like, whereas I feel like with the ladder analogy, maybe it's like, oh, I set up this ladder to go up the back, but, and I think I'm outsmarting the game, and then like, oh, now there's birds attacking me, and it's not like an impossible challenge, but like there's this hiccup to it that I didn't consider, which makes me think, okay, we're on the same page about what I'm doing here. And then it becomes like, is my creative solution the best way to do it? Or is maybe something more straightforward, right? But like, if it's just like, oh yeah, I'm going to use the item that lets me skip the video game. here, I'll do what everybody's waiting for. Bring it back to Mega Man.
Oh boy.
There's situations in Mega Man where it can kind of feel like using the special weapons is almost cheating. Like, they've set up this challenge and you're like, I could just not do it though. And if you give if the weapons are strong enough that you can do that often enough, it's sometimes nice to have like a button like, okay, this particular challenge I don't really like. I don't think it's very fair and I don't think it's very fun. So I'm just going to skip this one. And maybe I have like, you know, 3-ish opportunities to do that. But if you get like 20 opportunities to do that, then you're like, well, now I've just like barely played the level. And there's only, like, you can impose self-restraint, but, like, that sometimes can make things less fun. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to not use this tool. It can feel weird to do that. So I think there's a, like, I see where you're coming from, James, but I also think, like, there's a balance within that strategy.
Yeah.
Of, like, making it so that you have to feel clever that you're outsmarting the game, because if it's too easy to outsmart the game.
Yeah.
Then,
and
I don't think you just get that for any opportunity where you don't follow the intended.
And that's also just a thing, like, that happens, I've felt, when I was playing the game, is that, like, sometimes I'd be like, I want to get over here, but there's this stuff in the way. Well, it's fine. I'll just go over to the nearest tower and launch up into the air and then just glide the entire way over, which is like, or they have these, just these big rocks that fall from the sky, and you can use the rewind time ability, the recall ability, to lift them back up into the air and then use that if there's no tower nearby. And it's like, that you could definitely, like, you have to go out of your way to, like, you know, to do those kinds of things, but they are, because they're so readily available, sometimes they are what you jump to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I must bring us back on topic. Joe, how does all this pertain to The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom being a bad video game?
Well, I just mean that, like,
it's got Zelda in it.
You have so much freedom to, you have, like, I, like, part of it too is, like, I saw in the gameplay there was, like, this big list of items that the person had collected by however far through the game they were. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I'm scrolling through all of these items, I feel like that could get really clunky really fast. That's one aspect.
It's also part Pokemon.
Another thing is, like, there's, you know, you have to be careful that things don't get trivialized, right? Like, if you make, there's a point where, like, there's, okay, there's multiple solutions, but, like, sometimes it's like, well, then any solution will work. And then you don't really feel like you have to get creative. And then also, like, you have to be careful about balancing. Like, there's, like, maybe fun solutions, but no one's going to do the fun solutions. Like, oh, I put out this meat, and then I put out this, and the crows fly to it, and then I get this plant that eats them. But if there's, like, something that just, like, you know, something boring where it's like, oh, yeah, this, like, box kills the crows somehow, right? Or, like, I'm just going to throw a rock, like, I'm going to make a rock and throw it at the enemies. Like, if the best way to approach the problem is boring, like, there's all these different balance levels to it that could, like, you have to be really careful about tuning this experience so you're getting the right balance of, like, you do have to think creatively to solve problems. There are multiple solutions to problems, but it's not trivially so. And that the best solution to the problem is not always the same one, right? There can't be one or two best items to use in, like, basically any situation. I know that there's, like, a sort of a point system that determines, like, how many of different objects you can have, like, on screen at the same time, and some are cost more than others. But even, like, within that, like, oh, I can copy any enemy, but what if there's, like, one or two enemies that are just, like, the best ones to have, you know, to summon on your side? Then you don't use any of the other ones, even if it's kind of fun and creative. It's like, well, but this one will just do it, right? Like, there's all this different balance. It feels like something that's really hard to tune in balance. I don't think it's impossible. I think the fact that it is a 2D Zelda game gives them a lot more limit in the scope to actually kind of hone this in a way that, like, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom wouldn't necessarily have, because you can climb everything. So, I don't know. I'm not saying they couldn't make it work, but, like, that would be my biggest concern, is that it ends up being clunky and boring, and there's all this space for creativity, but it's not actually, like, the best way to play the game. And you kind of have to, like, intentionally play suboptimally to have any fun, to the point where you're kind of like, I'm wasting so much time just trying to pull fun out of this game. I could see it breaking that way. Yeah. I hope it doesn't. I hope it's very good. I hope Zelda gets to enjoy being the actual, like, main character of the game that's named after her.
And that, Game Cola Faithful, is how the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection will be a bad video game.
That one, I feel like, is going to be, that one's hard, unless any of them are,
no, they're all,
unless any of them are just already bad.
They're all amazing.
Yeah, that one, I don't think
is the Punisher amazing?
Were there any games at the Summer Games Fest that people were, like, super excited about?
Honestly, the whole presentation was kind of a dud for me, personally. I mean,
you're not super jazzed about LEGO Horizon?
I mean, I haven't played the first Horizon yet, so
I have no opinion. But it's LEGO.
I mean, Legos.
Why did this happen?
Legos cute.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. It seems out of left field to me.
What about the Sonic DLC for Super Mario Bros. Wonder?
Jetty, I don't. You're just referencing the poll that you made on YouTube. Nothing for me to yes and here.
The new Power Rangers beat 'em up game looks sick.
Oh yeah, that did look kind of interesting.
Maybe a good multiplayer game to play on.
And also, it means
Family
that
game
it's
night.
Time for a new X-Men one.
Oh, I know how that one's going to be bad, John. It's going to be available on multiple platforms, but not with crossplay.
Yeah.
What else was that state of play? State of play and the Xbox One, the showcase where they showed the case at the Xbox. It's a square or a rectangle.
Doom: The Dark Ages.
Like, oh, a new Doom game?
Yeah, and it's a prequel.
Doom or Dune?
Doom.
D-O-O-M. Doom, as in yeah, the first
as in
the, person
the BFG.
I'm never going to get to use the Gom Jabbar.
The what?
What?
Huh?
The BFG. That was
no, such... that's a Dune thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything about Dune.
You didn't. You clearly didn't listen to the episode of the Game Cola podcast, Sonk 2 and Dune 2 too.
I did
want
to
tell you all the most important information about Dune, aka everything that I remembered about the Dune franchise, which could be summarized in about 10 minutes.
So Dune: The Dark Ages is going to suck because it's not Dune.
There we go.
And there's no Gom Jabbar.
Yep. This is true.
The ages are too dark. No one can see.
There's Marvel Rivals was at the State of Play.
We already talked about why that was
bad. We had a whole argument.
Yeah, and you were wrong. We were all wrong.
The whole point of this, like, we're going to be wrong about most of the things on this podcast.
I don't believe that.
What, you think all the video games that we mentioned are actually going to be bad, Blue?
Yeah, except mine. Except Hollow Body. Because that one was so good, no one could...
Joe, tell us about
Silent
how the
Silent Hill 2. That
Joe,
was
can we talk about the Among
play.
Us TV show?
That's
oh,
not
dear
a game.
God.
Is it a Banned. TV show? I couldn't understand what was going on with all the Among Us stuff.
Yeah, so it is a TV show. There's also like an announcement at the Nintendo Direct today about like an update, but they're at the Summer Games Fest. They announced a TV show.
Is it a TV show or is it a series of YouTube videos?
I mean, it says TV show right in the title of the reveal trailer.
Right,
so.
But like
is it like a syndicated like on broadcast television?
Yeah,
on NBC. Watch Among Us.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. It's like, is it actually like if I tune
I need,
into some like freaking
hear,
Adult
like,
Swim or something?
The Disney Channel guy being, huh? That's sus. Come watch Among Us. Among Us up next.
I actually don't think it has a distributor yet.
We need the tagline. We need the like, don't vent away. Among Us will be right back after these commercials.
Someone draws the Mickey Mouse logo. yeah. I hate that mental image so much. I just want you to know.
We need better ones than the ones I came up with. Okay, everybody, I need your best Among Us, like, we'll be right back, coming up next, like, tagline.
Don't go away. There's an emergency meeting in 11 minutes.
That's how long commercial breaks
are. I don't play Among Us. I hate it. So I can't come up with anything witty.
That's the coming back one. That's the coming back one. It's like... Boop, emergency meeting. Now back to Among Us.
Are they just going to call it Among Us, or are they going to call it Among Us the TV show?
I don't know.
Probably just
Among Us.
Well, Among Us the TV show is the video game that's based on the show.
John.
Don't get killed. Among Us will be right back after these messages.
That feels a little... I feel like that's
some good life advice right there.
It feels a little generic, though. I want something more specific to Among Us.
This is network TV we're talking about here. It's going to be generic.
That is fair. I do remember the tagline for Phineas and Ferb was, it can happen. And it's like, what do you mean?
What does that even mean?
No one ever says that in the show in any context.
Aren't you like, a little too young so to be going on a commercial break? Yes, I am.
They repeat constantly in Phineas and Ferb, and they use something that they made up for the tagline for the We'll Be Right Back.
It just doesn't work.
Or now back to. Blue, what's your tagline for the Among Us TV show? Coming in, going out, whatever.
That's not a video game. Just saying.
Is that the tagline or is that a complaint? You guys are so bad at this. Okay, Jetty, save me.
What, Halo coming to Switch?
No. What is your tagline? The commercial break, going to commercial, coming back from commercial, starting the next episode, like, for Among Us.
You act as if I've played Among Us.
You don't, but like...
Didn't we on Family Game Night?
I didn't.
I don't think so.
But surely you know things about the video game.
No.
I know more about...
You know what video game I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Jetty.
Yeah.
See,
so you know something.
I'm in a camp with Jetty here. I've heard of the game. I have never watched any gameplay because it's become so much of a meme that I actively despise it and I refuse to interact with it.
Jetty, say, get your knives out.
Is that?
Well, but then you'll be sued by Glass Onion.
Well, he was in Among Us, so maybe he shouldn't have done that if he didn't want to be caught with Among Us. Incorrect.
I'm so bad at this. I thought mine were bad, but apparently they were still the best ones.
Well, I'm here to talk about video games, not TV shows.
We talked about the Fallout TV show like on your podcast.
Have you listened to the Game Cola podcast?
I hope this... Extreme Ghostbusters.
We spent an entire podcast talking about the Sonic the Hedgehog movies.
Let's not forget all the times that Nicktoons were brought up.
Wait, Jetty's cooking. Jetty's cooking.
Yeah, don't be a sussy baka. Stay tuned for more Among Us. After this,
I can definitely see the cringe.
Thanks for making me do that.
Don't be a sussy baka.
Among
Us will be right back.
I am physically recoiling,
and it's Joe's fault. We should have talked about Ghostbusters instead.
You made me do this, Joe.
It's all your fault.
I'm fine.
This is your most anticipated TV show will be terrible.
guys, we've been talking a lot about games that are coming out within the next year or so. But I want to know, what games have we been playing in recent times?
Nothing good, probably.
Especially if Jenny's played it.
I played, and we all, a lot of us did this, the new Make a Good Mega Man level game that's finally out.
After 6 years in development.
And it's, I think, I the so like the way that this game works, it's something that Game Cola editor emeritus Nathaniel Hoover has been working on for quite some time. He's part of the team that's been working on this. The idea is that, like, people submit their levels. They get rated. There's these Mega Man levels that are made in Game Maker. And then with, like, asset packs. And then they get judged, and then they get ordered based on... And then there's, like, a story around, like, why you're going in and playing all these levels. But, like, they're ordered from worst to best. And I think it is a testament to the game that, like, I started with the worst level, and I'm like, this is bad. This is a bad level. But I'm having a great time playing this video game. And this was a lot of the levels. Like, even the bad ones, like, and they're bad. Like, it's not like, oh, even the bad ones are pretty good. It's just like, Mega Man is such a good, solid concept that even a terrible level, like, when you have access to all the tools that you get, like, all these weapons and all the stuff, like, it just becomes, like, you're almost brute-forcing the, like, hacky stuff that some of the weapons do to, like, overcome the terrible level design. It's a very interesting thing. And then I think the good levels, I've only played, like, the first two tiers out of 15, So I'm not at the good levels yet.
Nope.
But as they get better, you get like, okay, there's still like interesting stuff going on here. And I remember from the other Make a Good Mega Man level games, like the good levels get like really good.
Yeah.
And like really fun and really interesting concepts.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah. I will say, do not feel compelled to read all the text. It's good. It's not a criticism. It's just that there's a lot.
There's a
and you
huge...
You can't do it. It is impossible.
I saw someone's YouTube series for Make a Good Mega Man Level 2, and the way they did it is that they played a couple levels in one video, and then the subsequent video would be reading the judge commentary of those levels that they just played through, and that. So basically, every other video was gameplay, and every other video was just like, you know, kind of a talking head, kind of, you know, reading, you know, for a couple minutes, the judge commentary, and that series ended up being something like 119 episodes, I think.
It's a game that is meant to like, and you can tell in like the way that the features have been put together on this fan game, but like, it is a game that is like. Meant to be able to be played where it has everything you could want, and to do that for everyone, it has stuff that like you don't necessarily care about, but it's all like optional. Like you can if you like Mega Man, there is some subset of the content of the game that you will really like, and anything that you don't like is completely optional. So, like, you can really just get whatever you want out of this fan game. And, like, I think there are some people that struggle with this. I've seen them talk about it on the Discord. Like, why would you, like, you know, why would you ever use, like, the skip chambers that let you skip bad levels? Like, the whole point is to play all the levels. It's, like, not for everyone. Like, the point could be, like, reading all of the reviews for some of these levels, but not necessarily beating them yourself. Or, like, just, like, people who really like the sort of story angle and, like, sampling but don't necessarily need to play everything together. Or, like, other people who are, like, who would probably be, like, I can't believe there's all this text and narrative in the game and you're basically just skipping over it and just playing a bunch of levels. And it's, like, that might be someone's cup of tea. But, like, it's a really interesting way to, like, put something together. And I don't know. I think that this game, like, it's really interesting to see, like, I don't know, like, you have movie sequels, and you have movie tributes, or, like, reboots, and it's interesting to see, like, what happens when you do that with video games, right? Like, what does, like, exploring the format of a Mega Man game in this way, outside of just the, like, here is what a Mega Man game is, like, here's the 8 bosses, you fight them in any order, like, this exploration of, like, what makes a good Mega Man level, right? Like, this is a very video game thing that we're doing here. You get what I mean? There's not make a good Western. I guess you kind of get that a bit with like certain compilation movie, like what was that? Love, Death, and Robots.
Yeah,
obviously it's not like the same
an anthology,
it's not all, like one IP, but like it is kind of like a hey, make a short film about this subject. But like I think there's also something interesting in the fact that like right that. Like, something like Love, Death, and Robots is specifically curated to be the good versions of that. Like, I'm sure that there's people, either they only contacted people who they know had, like, a proven track record, or they got a lot of, like, pitches in some way and pared it down to the best stuff that they had, right? Whereas, like, this, Make a Good Mega Man level, is everything. Like, unless they, like, didn't follow the submission rules in some way...
made a good Pokemon game.
Yeah. Like, it's in there. So, like, you really see the full spectrum of, like... And I almost sometimes think that, like, I feel like Mario Maker was sort of like this, too. There's elements of that in here where it's, like, by playing... When you see what people who don't know how to make level... Don't know, like, game design make levels, you, like, understand fundamentally, like... the implicit, like, rules that are used to make levels good. Like, hey, it sucks when, like, you go into, a room in Mario Maker and you can't leave without pressing the start over button, right? Like, which is, like, a soft lock, right? I don't know. It's really interesting. It feels very video game, and I like that. I like when my video games are very video game.
Yeah.
I know. We have, like, four people have played this video game now, which is, like, a Game Cola very rare situation.
It was cool. I couldn't hear it for half the time we played it.
Yeah, which was your own fault.
Actually, no, it was Sony's fault for making PS5 controllers default to, as speakers when you plug them in.
Yeah, kind of.
Because, yeah, you guys tried the Parsec multiplayer experience, right?
Because the game features local co-op, although most of the levels and, like, the general setup is not really designed around co-op, so co-op is more of an additional feature that they kind of tacked on there, which we also kind of uncovered. It was lots of fun, extremely chaotic, and it probably makes the levels even harder in some cases. Like, some parts are easier because you have a bunch of people, but some parts are very difficult because the way that, like, they handle horizontal scrolling is that all, like, the screen will limit its movements to whichever players are at the edge, so it won't let you scroll any players off the screen horizontally. But because it has no method of, halting the players vertically, if you, like, jump down a screen that scrolls and everyone isn't also jumping at the same time, then players can be scrolled off the bottom of the screen and just killed, as if they fell into a bottomless pit, even if it's not a bottomless pit. And that's kind of jank and annoying.
But there's also, some of the levels are just like that. Like, you'll go up a ladder and then you'll... And I think this is some of the game design of the people who made the levels, too. Like, you can go up a ladder, and then if you try to go back down
the ladder, it'll they didn't put a screen transition object, so it just acts as a death plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
some of it is like that. I don't know.
But that's not a fault of, like, this thing I'm describing here is, like... I'm sorry.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I get what you mean.
So I did also ask one of the developers of the engine, like, hey, is this, you know, could this be changed so that, kind of a la New Super Mario Brothers Wii, when a player is scrolled off the screen, it doesn't kill them, but it kind of, like, teleports them to...
You get put in a little bubble.
Yeah, bubble or, like, teleported to one of the players who is, like... you know, more centered on the screen or something. And they were like, that's theoretically possible, but it would be a huge pain to program. So, like, we'll consider it, but don't expect it to be in any sort of remotely recent
patch. Kind of just like the game fun already... thing that you can break.
Well, wait, yeah. the game with. Hang on. The game already does that with horizontal scrolling, though.
It does not currently do that with vertical. Well, it doesn't. Well, that's only if you do a screen transition.
Yeah, but that's what we're trying to do, though.
No. The issue is actually vertical screen, like, free scrolling, not screen transitions that kills the players. It's vertical scrolling. Like, if a screen scrolls upward vertically and two players jump up high, then whoever is left standing down at the bottom, if they go off the bottom of the screen as it scrolls upward, it kills them as if they had fallen into a pit.
I thought you were talking about that one jump that we had trouble with, where we're like, wait, this just killed us. Why is it
right?
Doing
and that,
that,
that was
let's
that
all jump
problem
at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was that problem is because we were not all jumping in sync, and so the screen scrolls down before it hits the transition spot, and so before it could scroll down far enough for the player to touch the transition point, the other players were still too high up on the screen in their jump, and so it just acted as if the player had fallen into a pit because they didn't hit the object before they fell off the bottom of the screen.
I see.
So it's weird, and I kind of figured it would be
consistent
pain.
Level design.
Yeah,
that's not the video
vertical
game.
Vertical scrolling. Vertical scrolling in classic Mega Man is also not really a thing in the original games either. So
I feel like I'm trying to think.
They did it,
like,
in 7, I think, and onward. But I don't know if
I think there's some parts in 7. Like, there's a Quick Man Laser sort of reference level that has, like, this vertical free scrolling. Instead of, like, scene transition ones. And there might have been, but yeah, like, it does kind of, like, end up feeling weird. I've never quite been a huge fan of it in, like, the more classic Mega Man styles, having the, it feels like you're just moving too fast a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of nice, like, especially with, like, the spike pits falling, like, that's a classic Mega Man thing where, like, you have to go through several screens and, like, not hit the spikes as you're falling down. But, like, the idea is that you, like, you get a screen and then you have your second to, like, figure out where the spikes are and then make your movement decisions and then you get to the next screen. So, I don't know, like, it's kind of hard to say, like, it depends, too, on, like, how much people were supposed to be thinking about the multiplayer when they're designing the levels. But also, like, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of free vertical scrolling in Mega Man fan games in general. I feel like the vibe is usually weird. I think it can be done well. And I bet, like, if you themed a level around it, you could make it work in a fun way. But, like, generally speaking, it makes me think that someone isn't really thinking about how this all, like, comes together. That's Mega Man. That we got our Mega Man in for the episode. We have time for a couple more games.
PSA Parsec is great.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It worked like a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Who else has a video game?
I actually haven't been consistently playing a video game recently because I've been job hunting.
Yep.
That's like a video game.
Of misery.
Yeah. You just keep you just keep losing. Good.
Okay, James, did you play a video game?
Mega Man Level 3, and I've also, like, played a little bit of, I've been replaying a little bit of Subnautica Resident here Evil. And there. Huh?
Resident Evil?
Yes, that's right, Resident Evil.
That doesn't count, just watch some videos.
You can see that on the Game Cola YouTube channel, yeah. Which we'll advertise later.
Woohoo!
You playing, like, the first Subnautica?
Yeah, the first Subnautica again, because I really, really like that game. I just love the immersion and just the...
I think
like, a lot of those games, like, the first couple times you play it, it's definitely, like, a little bit of, like, a horror game, just in terms of all the unknowns and everything, and it's still kind of got some spooky moments out on me, but now it's just kind of, like, a nice... When you're familiar enough with a game to just kind of get in the zone, and it's almost relaxing in a way, even if your surroundings are kind of spooky, scary, in the same way that I feel about, you know, the original Resident Evil. That game is kind of just relaxing and chill for me because the surroundings, while spooky, I'm so familiar with that I can just kind of get in the zone and I feel comfortable maneuvering around and doing what I need to do.
Neat. Cool.
What's Jedi been playing?
Oh, you already know what I've been playing. I've been playing Tears of the Kingdom, and I've been.
Oh yeah, I guess you are.
If the whole
that's
game
why I'll never be allowed to play it.
If the whole game could just be having to make Koroks reach their friends, I think that would be a good game. Then I would play. I would play that game.
They're going to come out with a Captain Toad treasure tracker style. We're making a whole game out of the bonus mode.
Because the thing that disappoints me is, like, the first, like, two or three ones that you come across, it's like, oh, he needs to get across this gap, and you have to, like, make a little slide for him to, like, go down the minecart thing in... so that he can get over there or whatever. And, like, then there's another one where, like, there's, was it the wing or whatever? And you can, like, attach rockets to it and make him, like, go over there. And then immediately after, like, the first three that you come across, it's just like, you just carry him, but there's monsters in between the two places. So it's kind of, like, annoying. It's like, well, that's not fun, especially because, like, you walk really slow. You can't run while you're, like, holding things. And so that was disappointing. It's like, and then you do, you could just use the little bubble things, the things you get out of the gacha machine. I guess you could use those to do it instead. Just get a rocket that you got out of the gacha machine. Assuming, of course, that you got rockets out of the gacha machine. But man, if I could just throw Koroks around... as a game, like
is this Korok reach their friends simulator, or is this Korok abuse simulator that we want yes. to make a game
It's
of?
Up to you. It's your choice.
Oh,
that, you know,
I see.
It's what is
what
it?
If
it's
that's
like
just
when...
what Breath of the Wild is, though? Or, I mean, Tears of the Kingdom. Maybe that's the whole point. It's just requires a little more effort to get to all of the Koroks.
Exactly, yeah. That, like, you have to suffer through the rest of the game in order to get to the parts where you carry a Korok around and he says, I need to meet my friend.
Suffer is a strong word.
I have never in my life have I heard that the concept of that you're suffering through the entirety of Tears of the Kingdom except for the parts where you're dealing with the Koroks. I think that might be a new sentence uttered for the first time.
I can't be the first person who's thought of Korok Space Program.
Yes.
Korok Space Program.
Man.
Ooh.
Yes.
That would be great. Oh, man. There's a game going on my most disappointing, Kerbal Space Program 2. It's possibly, potentially dead. Just as it was getting to the point where it could actually be good, they killed it off. Very sad.
I also played all the Mega Man Game Boy games.
Oh, right, that came out on the Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah.
Oof.
I feel like I'll talk about them. Has anybody else played these Game Boy, these Mega Man Game Boy games for the Cinderblock Game Boy?
I have not.
I tried. It was rough.
Yeah, I played one of them, you know, like back in 1992 or whatever. I do not remember enjoying it. So.
They feel like... kind of like the first one is very hard. I had played that one before, so I didn't replay it on this round. So I played 2 through 5 for the first time. And like it definitely takes, what's interesting is that like for most of them, not all of them, but for most of them, they were made by the team that ended up being like the people who made like Mega Man 7. Like, the Mega Man 7 has a very weird development history. The game they programmed the game in like a month because they wasted all of their time on like lore basically and like design planning stages, and then they were like, oh, the deadline's here, we need to make this whole video game in like a month. And the team that they got to work on it is the same team, and it's really interesting that you can see how that's the case, because like things like the shop first appears in the Game Boy games, like where you can get like points or screws, like I don't think they call them screws, I forget what they actually call them in the Game Boy games, but you get like collectible items that are effectively like the screws in the later classic games, and then you can use those to purchase things like E-tanks or some more permanent upgrades. Like that happens first in the Game Boy games. It's also interesting that the energy balancer shows up technically first in Mega Man 4 on the Game Boy, but like by a week in terms of release date. So, like, they must have been talking to each other, because in Mega Man 6 and Mega Man 4, on a week from each other, the energy balancer was an item added to the canon, which is, I think that's very interesting. I feel like 4 and 5 do actually kind of come together a bit, but, like, the thing that they do that just ends up being kind of inexcusable is they mess with the charge shot. In Mega Man 4 on the Game Boy, when you release a full charge shot, it, like, if you're in the air, it pushes you backward a little bit. And I hate it.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's, like, it messes up with your things. And then the other thing that it does is if you're standing on the ground, it, like, lifts you off the ground a little bit. And so, like, releasing a charge shot can eat your jump.
Yeah.
And it feels terrible. I hate it so much. Why did they do it? If they just hadn't messed with the charge shot, it would have been, like, a pretty good Mega Man game. Like, there are some stuff where, like, I feel like they do kind of throw you into some blind challenges or have, like, weird, very tricky jumps that, like, really just don't need to be. And it's not, like, hard. You just, like, tiptoe your way to the edge of the ledge and then jump, and it's just slow. It's not hard or, like, fun in a challenging way. And then Mega Man 5, they replace the charge shot with, like, you, like, send your hand out to hit the enemy, but, like, it doesn't go all the way across the screen. So, like, you can release, you can charge this full thing, and then you can't hit the thing on the other side of the
screen. Wait a second. Is that also the thing that they added to the rush adapter in Mega Man 7?
It's similar.
Because there was an addition for it where you like powered up and it launched a fist that like homed in on enemies or something.
Yeah. But it doesn't home in Mega Man 5.
Oh. They were like, hey, let's make this idea we had earlier like, good.
Yeah, like you can clearly see in Mega Man 7, like Mega Man 7 really brings the Game Boy games mechanically into the fold in the development of the classic series. Whereas like they kind of are this sort of separate thing. But, like, and, like, none of the characters show up. Like, Mega Man 5 also, like, it seems like they know that this is, like, kind of the send-off of this game. Because, like, in Mega Man 5, this is slight spoilers, but, like, there's, like, each of the Mega Man Game Boy games brings in, like, a cool new boss-ish character that's sort of, like, the central, like, before Wily boss. And in Mega Man 5, they have you refight all of them at the end, which is, like, cool. And also, like, oh, so they knew that this was, like, the handheld series wasn't going to be, like, its own separate thing anymore. Hmm. They might have known that they were going to get kind of brought up into Mega Man 7 and be integrated into that team. So it's interesting how things kind of came together there. It's interesting for the development of the Mega Man series. There's cutscenes in 4 and 5, at least, maybe in 3, but, like, not just, like parts where, like, Mega Man, like, they do, like, sprite art of, like, close, like, not, like, you know, really super detailed, but, like, not where Mega Man's just, like, the little tiny character, same as when you're playing the video game sprite on the screen. Like, they'll like, draw him out in, like, a full body shot and, like, have him, like, look at something. And there's, like, dialogue. It's a lot of the first, like, dialogue that is more than, like, just, like, one screen of Dr. Wily saying, like, Proto Man! I don't know. I'm glad I played it. If they had just made a couple of different decisions, it really could have ranked up with the greats, but, I don't know. I have to think about where they fit in a full ranking. But, like, unlike Zero, where I was, like, really surprised to, like, find a new one of my favorite Mega Man games in that set, because I think Mega Man Zero 3 is really, like, a really good game. I didn't really feel like they got to that point with the Game Boy games, where there was, like, a clear S-tier Game Boy game. I'm sure I'll talk about it more in the future, but those are the things I have to say about Mega Man this month on the podcast. Speaking of the podcast, thank you for listening to it, this episode of the Game Cola Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to check us out on our actual internet website, gamecola.net, for reviews and other episodes of podcasts and updates, and maybe near the time when this comes out, game awards type things.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
yeah.
This is coming out on the 1st of July, so I don't know when we're going to do...
It's not going to be
do you have a date?
The 1st of July.
Yeah, it's not going to be the 1st.
It's usually like the 1st or 2nd week. And like usually on like a Friday, I think.
Yeah.
It's not on the 25th. That's when Christmas is, right?
Christmas. Oh, man, that's a good idea. Christmas in July. Yeah.
We'll have to think about it.
Yeah.
But at some point, keep an eye out on the website and the Discord. You can find us on Discord if you go to gamecola.net. You can, like, find the link to the Discord in the upper right. I wish there was a better way for us to put... Like, I could read you letters. But, like, are you going to put... Are you going to remember the letters?
Yeah.
I guess we should... I should probably put it in, like, the podcast description or something. I don't know. We'll think of something. Mm-hmm. It's on the YouTube. Also, gc.net, the letter G, the letter C, the word dot, the word net. The Discord... There's YouTube videos, first of all. That's probably the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also in the description, you can find a link to the Discord there, too. But James and Blue have a fun Resident Evil playthrough, the first game going through. If you're not a fan of horror, I would say it's not like the kind of horror vibes that, like, I'm usually not super into horror, but I've watched a good chunk of this, and it does not. James knows about the video game, so, like, it's not scary because James knows what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually mostly just fun.
At least watch the first two episodes, because...
Yes, so you can get Blue's really good jokes.
It's there's more good jokes. You should watch the entire series, because we make at least one very, very gut-busting joke, I think, per episode, basically.
Mm-hmm. This is pretty accurate, yeah.
based on the two episodes that are out right now.
or by all the episodes, because...
Well, you know, where's the lie?
I was talking about Jetty. Yeah. Jetty's only... Unless Jetty's gone on the YouTube channel and watched the rest of them. Also, this is kind of dated when we recorded this podcast.
We were talking about the today's month, direct, so it was already dated.
You didn't say it was today's yet.
I did. I did.
It was implied. Anyway.
I think I said it.
I couldn't record later in the month, so we had to do this one a little early. And then for once, the direct was right before the podcast instead of right after. But I think I've said all of the things. I don't know. Send us an email. Podcast.
Yeah, Twitter and Facebook, if those haven't imploded by the time you're watching.
I don't think. No, actually, I wouldn't. I don't think we check those anymore.
Oh, we don't really check them anymore? Okay, never mind.
We don't even post the podcast on Twitter anymore because they killed the API for
it.
What am I going to do? Like, go on to Twitter.com?
Yeah. Oh, never. Absolutely not.
Yeah, they're not our friends
anymore.
Type
out a tweet about the podcast? No, thank you.
And then sift through all the spam bots that catch it and reply.
Yeah. Discord is the best place to talk to a real human person.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
It's just Blue. Yeah. Only Blue. Blue is the only human being.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful time of day, wherever it is, whenever it is you are listening to this podcast, and we will see you next month. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy Pride Month.
Oh, speaking of that, actually, if we're talking about fighting games not on multiple platforms but not having crossplay, also released a reveal that the Nintendo Direct today is the Marvel vs. Capcom fighting game collection.
We were just
but
talking
which...
about.
Oh, is that what you were talking about? Oops.
Forehead.
Dang it. I'm sorry. I had to go do something. I missed, like, probably a minute or two chunk of the podcast.
You missed
dang
the
it.
Exact minute that
I must have.
For.
Dang it. dang
cut,
it.
Print, put in the extra.
me looking like an idiot.